If you've missed the last 2 weeks, we're in this series we're calling The Big Three. And we have built it around a moment that really happened last November when the elders snuck away to Lake Norman for 24 hours and prayed and fasted and sought the Lord and asked him, what do you want us to be about? What do you want us as a church to give our lives to for the next 10 years as it relates uniquely to the three big components of our mission, which is to make disciples of those nearest, our neighbors, and the nations. And so with the nearest, we put out this phrase, gospel generation. And I've implored you 2 weeks now, make it three today, to not think of that as a noun alone, but actually as a verb and a noun, that we want to be a gospel generating generation. Because why? Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power generation of God for salvation for all who would believe, so that we would be a people that wake up every day and think and live and move like spirit-filled, spirit-driven, led people that says, Lord, would you speak to me and through me today? Let me see with my eyes folks in front of me that I can have a gospel conversation with, to truly be spirit-led and to step into those moments when they're in front of us. And then last week, we turned the corner into gospel multiplication, which we said was through church planting or replanting. And we threw out that number that we said we want to be a part of the planting or replanting of 25 churches in the next decade. And I forgot one of the biggest, most exciting parts of that. I didn't tell you, which makes this even more fun, is that there is a partnership that's been growing and developing over the last several years, but several months with this in particular, where John Freeman and I have been going through a book via Zoom with two other churches, and the book is called Together for the City, and it's the true story of how a group of churches in Birmingham, England, have discovered that church planting is actually more effective when you do it in collaboration with other churches, because everything gets easier and better and stronger when you're working together. I don't care how big your church is. When churches work together, it gets better. There's more momentum involved. And so Forest Hill and New City Church have both approached and said, we want to play, we want to participate, we want to partner, we want to collaborate with that. And some numbers started getting thrown out on this week's call with John and I from them that were breathtaking in its excitement beyond the 25 that we've mentioned. But I'm not going to share that number with you yet because we don't really have a firmness on that. But I can just tell you this, we've got some really exciting days ahead. And we're really asking for the Holy Spirit to blow His Holy Spirit to move in a way that we need him to, because we're not going to get to that finish line without him. We're just not. And so excited about that. Which brings us to our final big three, our final third of gospel proclamation. Now, to give that even more clarity, what we mean by that is gospel proclamation to the unreached through people and Bible translation. To the unreached through people and Bible translation. So this begs for some definition of term. Because what does it mean to be unreached? What does that actually look like in real life? Because is that the same thing as lost or not, right? So a technical definition of an unreached people group, or a UPG for short, would be this. It's a people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize this people group without outside assistance. So you can see, you can be lost without being unreached. They live in America and other nations. But to be truly a citizen of an unreached people group is to say that there is not enough, there's no church, there's no Bible presence, there are not enough believers for a tipping point to go into a reached people group. And so, having talked with our missions pastors and others who work with Seed Company and beyond, some of these numbers are moving targets. When we talk about population and we talk about Bible translations, so I'm going to be as true to that number as I can, because as a moving target, what I mean is progress is being made, and so numbers go down, and you have to be really tuned in. But let's just say firmly that there are 7.75 billion people that call Earth home. That's a lot of people. 7.75. It feels like yesterday it was at 7. Now we're at 7.75 billion. Estimates say somewhere close to 3 billion are unreached. Meaning this, that there are 7,000 people groups that are unreached. 7,000 people groups that are unreached. You go, how could that possibly be? Like, there are not that many nations. Well, it's because if you think about the Great Commission, for example, when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations being ta ethne, nations meaning people groups, languages, tribes, and tongues. So just like Pakistan, for example, that's a nation, right? But there are multiple ta ethnes or people groups within Pakistan that all call themselves Pakistani, but there are lots of different people groups in that one country. So you can easily see on the earth, there can be thousands of people groups and how there can be 7,000 of them who are unreached. Now, here's what I want you to just let soak on you for a moment. How is it possible in the earth today, with all of our technology and all of our clickers and TVs and internet and Wi-Fi and just phones in your pocket that have probably chirped once or twice since I started this sermon, how is it possible that there are people on the earth who have never heard the name Jesus? And yet there are. There are barriers. There are walls up against that prevent millions, billions of people from hearing the name of Jesus. So a people group is considered unreached if less than 2% of that population are Christian. And some of those people groups, unreached people groups, are tens of thousands. They're smaller. Some of them have millions in a people group. But there's 7,000 plus of them. So I want to unpack a term that's familiar to some, unfamiliar to others, of gospel poverty. We all know what poverty means in a physical sense. So what does gospel poverty mean in the earth? What does that look like? John and David and our team have put together a great way for me to see it. And for anybody else that's a visual learner, just think of hue, H-U-E, like color variation, H-U-E. Because the way John described it to me was that gospel poverty is reaching the unreached who are first those who have never heard. Never heard, just never heard. Like, they woke up this morning, they're going to go to bed tonight, and they're going to do that over and over, Groundhog Day, until they die, and they will never hear the name of Jesus that we hear constantly here, in good ways and bad ways. Second layer of gospel poverty and impoverished soul would be those who have never understood. Like, they've heard it, but there's a journey, but they've not understood it, and they've not crossed the line of faith. Maybe it's someone of an Islamic background in the Middle East that's working with a believer there, and it's just a long journey. They've heard it, they've just not understood, they're not malicious to it, they're not antagonistic, but they've just not gotten there. But then lastly, H-U-E, are those who've just not embraced or engaged it. Like, they've heard it, and they understood it, but they've chosen to reject it, which is a terrifying place. So to think of gospel poverty are those who've heard, who've never understood, never heard, never understood, and never embraced or engaged. And so when you begin to see it that way, we begin to realize that when the scripture talks about our blessing for a reason, we begin to see our lives with a great big responsibility with it. What does the word say? If you've got a Bible, open up or turn to Psalm 67, and we're going to look at a familiar-ish text. And what's embedded in it is wonderful. It says there in the beginning of the text, in the first three verses, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. Wait, does that sound familiar? It should, because that's part of what you hear every Sunday as a Carmel member or attender. That's the blessing, but it's not from here, right? It's from number 6. It's Aaron's blessing that he spoke over Israel. So this is a portion of Aaron's blessing, but here's where it changes. It goes on to say, so that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. And so just for visual sake, look up here. Boom. May God be gracious, bless, and make his face shine on us so that, would you say that with me? So that. There's a purpose. There's a reason. He gives us grace and blessing and favor. That's what a lot of this implies here with his face shining, this notion of favor being bestowed of one to another. We've been blessed beyond our wildest dreams for a reason, embedded in 6 letters and 2 words. So that we can live the American dream, or so that through our blessing that he's given us, we can leverage that and move it throughout the earth. Why? So your ways may be known and your salvation among the nations. What's the result of this? Look, bam. When his ways are known, there is gladness and a singing of joy in the earth. Now, you've heard this before somewhere. Galatians 12, when God blessed Abraham, says in verse 2 and 3, he says to Abraham, I'll make you a great nation and I'll bless you and make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you and him who dishonors you I'll curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So God took a people and called them out. And through those 12 sons, chose one son, Judah and his tribe, to bring Jesus. So when Jesus stepped into history, he became that fulfillment as Abraham's seed to be a blessing to the earth. That was true for them. And now for us, it's true in a continuation sense. Like we get to be a part of this big narrative that goes back to the first book of the Bible and how explosive that can be. But there's a big problem. There's a massive problem with that. And I want to speak slowly and clearly to let it hit you well. 97% of our global missionaries in the earth go to lands and places where they've already heard the gospel. And 1% of our resources in church go to those places. Let me just put it to you this way. 3% of our missionaries are going to unreached peoples and 1% of our financial resource is going to that place. Could it be that God would want us to be a little more strategic and intentional with where we send our dollars? Could it be that as intelligent people, we would say, what about the billions of people who have never, ever heard the name Jesus, ever? What if we joined the 3% and the 1% in our own little tiny slice of the pie in the world, raise that somehow? Because Americans spend $9 billion a year on Halloween, and from that, we as Americans spend almost $500 million, $480 million on our pet costumes, which is more than this number. That America spends more on pet costumes than the American church spends on reaching, going, communicating with folks who have never, ever heard of Jesus. That's not meant to condemn us, but it is meant deeply to convict us. That in a measure of hopefulness and brokenness, that we would just consider, you know, like the fact that we just throw money to the wind for a dog to wear a spider costume. When there are human imago Dei, image bearers of God who will die and step into a Christless eternity called hell without knowing him. So it just beckons you to just open your hands and say, I want to do this differently. So as we go back to this statement of gospel proclamation to the unreached through people in Bible translation, let me just pause on the through people for a moment. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you today at the altar time or in the shower tomorrow or mowing your grass or driving your car or when you're having your quiet time, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says just distinctly, I want you to go to the nation of, would you go? Or would you, with joy, applaud that sweet couple that's heading out and go, yeah, I go to that church. I write the checks to that church, which is historically the easier path, because it is easier to write a check than to do that. But oh, the joy of obedience. The joy of obedience. And where those two, three are heading, the joy of that. Would you go? Will you go? Will you go? We have dear friends from this church. Some of you know, longtime members. They moved down from New York years ago. He was a successful Wall Street investment banker type of guy, and he moved down here with his family so that they could begin work with SIM and start doing missions work. And, you know, today they woke up in the Middle East. He's the director of multiple missionaries all across the Middle East. Because they said yes. They had a really financially strong life. But whenever they're home and we have coffee or dinner with them, there is no lack of joy in them. There's no regret in them. It's just joy. And their piece, their part of the story. Here's one idea that I would give you to keep the nations in front of you. This is a map. When I leave home, it hits me here, about that close. And when I come in the back door, it hits me here. We put this up here. It's a cheap map. There's nothing expensive about it. But we put pins on it. You can't see the pins, but there's a little legend here. It started out as a game with us about who's been to the most nations. And so we all got a color, and so it's fun to go in and to see. And there are times when I'm slow enough and thoughtful enough to look and to think as I'm heading out and getting in my car, to pray for a certain place that I've been, and I remember who's there, and I remember the missionaries, and just to call them out by name and to call for the Holy Spirit and cry for the Holy Spirit to move in a powerful way. Go buy a cheap map today and put it up in your house. And if you've never been out of the country, pray for your first pin. Jump in an international trip and pop it on there and just rejoice in that. Another thing that we've done through the years is we've prayed through this book. It's a cheap book you can get on Amazon called Operation World. It's a hardback. It's about that thick. It's got every nation on earth in it. And you just flip through it. It's so easy a caveman could use this, guys. And you get to the nation of blank, and it breaks down the population. It breaks down all the religions by percentage. It gives you an idea to pray for, who to pray for. Super easy. We don't do that all the time. We haven't done it in a while, actually. Maybe it's time to break it back out. It's a great way to keep the nations right in front of you and to pray uniquely for them. Will you go? Will you be a part of the decade goal of gospel proclamation in the nations permanently or temporarily? Will you just get a passport and be ready so that when you see something come across, you're like, I'm in. I got my passport last year. I didn't know where I was going, but now I know. Now I know why we're going. Let's do this. Let's go. I want to shift gears from people to Bible translation now. And I think you're going to feel really inspired by this section of the message. So yesterday I was in my study right there, and I got out all my Bibles in my office to take a photo to show you how many Bibles. How many Bibles do you have? You got more than one? Raise your hand. Okay. So this is 22 Bibles I found in my bookcase downstairs, but there were another 42 in my laptop. And so I have a total of of 64 Bibles in my office on a given day. And so I texted Christy. I said, hey, would you pull all the Bibles in our home library and put them up on the hearth? And she did. And that's another 25, which if you're fast, that's 89 Bibles. So we'll throw in at least one for my mom in the cottage to get to 90. You know, we got 90 Bibles in our yard, in our house. 90. And there are humans who live today who want a Bible, and they can't get one in their heart language because it doesn't exist. And it's not like it's difficult and like, oh, Amazon doesn't deliver out here. It's like, no, they can't. There's not one to deliver. Anybody that's ever spent any amount of time overseas, I mean, just temporarily, you live in India for multiple years. You remember how exhausting it is when you were there and just learning language and how tiring it is, and how when you get back home or you get to a church service where they're singing a song that's actually in English, or if you know that language now, it's like, my heart language. I've learned this other or this other, but this is my first language. This is my heart language. It's my comfort language. Just like comfort food, there's a comfort language when you begin to speak it, and how wonderful it feels. There are billions of people on the earth who don't have that. Not because they can't, it just doesn't exist. What if we got to be a part of that solution? What if we were in that story of helping them get one? Would you like to be a part of that? There's a group called the Illuminations, not the Illuminati, for all you old conspiracy theorists. The Illuminations. It's a collaborative group started by one of the Hobby Lobby guys who helped pull together the 10 primary Bible translators, and recognizing that they could do more together than any one of them could do alone. And through that collaboration, they've set a goal to get God's word accessible to the earth by 2033. That looks like a far out number. But remind yourself, it's 2020. That's only 13 years away. And you go, okay, all right, whatever. Well, when you know the number of how many languages are left, you'll go, are they sure they could pull that off? They really know what they're doing? Because that's a lot of languages to get to. Well, when you get folks coming together like these on the screen, American Bible, Pioneer Bible, Seed Company. We've got a Seed Company executive here today who goes to church here. SIL, Wycliffe, United Bible, Biblica, Deaf Bible, The Word for the World, and Lutheran Bible. Some guy had the great idea a while back that they could all fly into a central airport and spend a day together collaborating and working together. And their number that used to be way out there got to 2033. Why? Because we are always better together. No matter how big or resourced they might be or a church might be, always, always, always better together. And this is why I say it's such a big deal. Because there are 7,000 languages spoken on the earth and 3,902-ish, I hope I'm close, are yet to be translated, either in full or partially. If you had asked me not long ago, how many languages on the earth? I'd have guessed a couple hundred. I don't know. Because there are not that many nations on the earth. And I know there are different breakdowns. But 7,000? Are you serious? And 3,900 of them yet to be translated? That's somebody's heart language. That number, which feels cold and sterile, is actually somebody's heart language, just like yours is. So this is where they are on the earth. That 3,902 is broken up by these different regions and spots in the earth. How cool to consider that over the next 10 years that we as a church and you as your family could see one of these numbers drop, or 10 of these numbers drop. If you've not been to the Bible Museum in Washington, this is a must-go. This is a must-go. It is a fantastic, amazing experience to see what they've done there. This is a room that the Illuminations have, and these are hard to see, but they're individuals. They're blank for a reason, because they're representative of that 3,900-ish languages that have yet to be translated. And you go in there, and when you begin to look at it, you just consider, what if there was no English Bible? And I wanted to know of him. I desired to know him, and I couldn't. What would that feel like? It'd be like meeting Christy. I just thought of this. It'd be like maybe meeting Christy years ago, and she was fluent in one language, and it wasn't mine, German. And it's just like, how do I tell this woman? What is she saying to me? I just want to be able to communicate. I want to hear what she's saying, because I'm sure it's ask me to marry you. Or where's the bathroom, sir? Consider that. How do we get there? When everybody works together. When everybody does their part. So our GoFund that has historically gathered, it's like the bucket in our budget that gathers money and is used to take the gospel to the nations, is being renamed the Gospel Poverty Fund. To be in line with, synergy with everything that I've just said. There is a gospel poverty in the earth. We have a fund that we want to call that Gospel Poverty Fund to say we're tired of going, ain't that bad? Isn't that awful? To saying there's a need. We can be a part of the solution. Let's get after it. Let's do it together. So here's a simple math for you. Here's a simple idea that our missions pastor came up with. It goes like this. What if we gave one day's income a year to contribute to that Gospel Poverty Fund? Just one day's of our income. Now, if you go online and look at an average salary in Matthews, you get $75,000. That's average for the family, for the home. Some of you are less than that. Some of you are above that. But let's just say that's average because that's what it said on the site. We have 1,400 families that are active. Not the bigger number, that big number of membership. No. It's like who's here, who's active. 1,400 active families. Well, if you divide $75,000 by 365 to get a day, it's $205. $205. If you multiply that by 1,400 family units, it's $287,000. Which is well on the way to a total translation of a New Testament. A New Testament is 400 something thousand. A whole Bible is 980 something, I think. For one day a year. Because actually right now, our portfolio looks like this of our mission giving, which at the moment is $1.1 million when we tithe, when we offer, when we give. $1.1 million of that each year goes to gospel poverty, and this is what a preferred outreach portfolio would look like. The blue being global outreach, this being local outreach, and this being church planting or multiplication, replanting, planting, multiplying. That's what it would look like. But what if once or twice a year, we said in addition to the tithing, we just took one day income. And let's go back to that map and 10 years from now, just go, oh my goodness, that you would have a part. Can you imagine what it would feel like to get a Bible in your heart language for the very first time? Well, I want you to watch a people in Kenya who got theirs after 37 years of work through the good work of the seed company. And I want you to watch their reaction.
Thank you.
6 hours. Did you see that? They danced for 6 hours from the joy of having a Bible in their heart language. It didn't hit me in the first service, but it says they came in on the backs of camels. It takes one letter to really get us involved. You put an R in there on the backs of camels, we get to be a part of that story over and over and over and over again. The reason I say that is because we can partner with translations that are close to the finish line, and we can also partner with those who have yet to start. And so that we can have a part in saying, this people group can read the gospel because I got to play in that. I sacrificed, maybe I even went and showed up in that. And why does that really matter? Because of what Jesus said in Matthew 24. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. And for anybody that's watched the news over the last several months and gone, this world is so broken. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. He ain't coming until the whole earth has heard of his name. And then the end will come. Who's in? Who wants to give your life to that? We can all play with that. And we want to hear. We want you to tell us. We want you to text Big Three to 704-610-3116. You'll see it here shortly on the screen. Text Big Three, no space, to this. You'll instantly get a survey link back where you can let us know which of these Big Three, or maybe two or three of them, that you really want to get involved with. And our pastoral team will reach out and help you find your spot and your place with that. So I want us to spend some time in prayer. Justin's going to play for us, and I want you to circle up if you're with more than one, or bow your heart right where you are, and I want you to ask for the Holy Spirit to speak to you uniquely from today, but also from these three, your place in that story. Hey, guess what? The pandemic's been awful. A lot of people have died. Economies are wrecked around the world. It's been awful. But the kingdom of God never shuts down. It never stops. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. When we wake up tomorrow and the next day, we will still be called into the kingdom to live as salt and light in that kingdom, looking for gospel conversations all around us, looking for where we could invest. And here's the key. The key is not caring, I want to go to the nations. It's all about the nations or the nearest or my neighbors. It's understanding what drives the journey, which is the gospel. So I'm not asking you to get fired up about nearest neighbor and nation as much as I am about the gospel, about Jesus. And from that fire, then burn one, two, or three of them, but start in the right place. So bow your head, bow your heart right where you are. Ask him to speak to you, because he will. And when we get really quiet, we can hear the whisper that we can't hear in the noise. So let's listen.